Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show any time of day, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show. Get it put on your pod or on your computer daily at iTunes. Later on in the program, Amy Pilling is going to join us to talk a little bit about Bioneers, and Robert Knott will be here with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome poet, novelist, and teacher Jimmy Santiago Baca. His latest book of poetry is called Spring Poems Along the Rio Grande. He's joining us by telephone from Albuquerque, and he'll be speaking and signing books this Sunday, the 20th of May at 4 o'clock at the St. Francis Auditorium, sponsored by Collected Works Bookstore. Welcome, Jimmy, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's wonderful to have you. I read your book of poems, and I thought, since we're talking about poetry, maybe we could actually start with a poem to give our listeners the sense of your latest work. Would you like to read from Spring Poems Along the Rio Grande, maybe the first poem or any one of them that you like?
Yes, I'll do that. You sort of caught me off guard here. I'm having my first cup of coffee, and I'm still bouncing into the walls.
As are all of us.
Okay. Okay. All right, good. I'll read the first one. It's called The Heart Sharpens Its Machete. This winter has been a mild one. Snow melted away by noon. No heavy gusts toppled elms or cracked cottonwoods. They passed by as if I were in a train watching them from the window, rushing through. Everyone around me speaking a foreign language, traveling away from what is broken, leaving landscapes of war, people starving, refugees waving for us to help them, homes they once loved in and slept and ate in, bombed to rubble. The heart sharpens its blade, raises 1,000 machetes in the streets, each cutting a path through the history of lies upheld by the law, by priests, by teachers, by commercials, banks, and loan officers. I tell you, it has not been a hard winter. The cold didn't crack the boughs, didn't split the trunks. There were more cold, more ice and frost between lovers than on landscapes. More mistrust, more suspicion. More prisoner chains dragged this morning than ever before. By the river, I hear the excruciating cries of Palestinian children. And I know this poem can't irrigate democracy with its blood. Can't heal the wounded in Afghanistan or Iraq. This poem's voice does not drown out the patriotic madness, nor evade our lust for blood. It whispers from this corner of the bosque in Nuevo Mexico for peace. No, it was not a bad winter this year along the Rio Grande, but beyond the bosque, severe freezing struck the souls of millions.
Jimmy Santiago Baca, I read that poem. I read them in order, and it makes one think. It brings up overtly the question of what poetry can do and what it cannot do. And I wondered if you could talk about that in terms of your own life.
Well, I just think poetry has a. I don't do very much with poetry myself. I mean, I don't feel like I have any active choice in which way I go with it. It would be as if you were asking poetry what it does with Jimmy Santiago Baca.
Right.
And what it does with me, it just helps me, it really does, it really is a forum in which I fight the lions as in the Roman days, or I explore a new path through the Amazon, you know? It's this place where words come up like alchemists and start to reshape me. And they begin to give me different languages and different eyes. Poetry does wonderful things to me. So I really can't predict exactly what those things are. But who knows, I might be a jaguar this afternoon and a monkey tonight.
Right.
You know, I leave myself open to have poetry do things to me.
Now, a lot of the poems are clearly inspired by your running and walking along the river in the bosque. And I was wondering about the process of writing them. Did you actually write them or make notes while you were outdoors?
No. Well, actually, sometimes I carry like a hand recorder. And I was running, but, you know, I'm such a poor runner that there was more panting and sighing than actual intelligible words. But I did I did carry a hand recorder, and it didn't seem to work, because when you carry a hand recorder and you try to mimic the run to its, to what you see and what you hear, and you record that into a recorder, it doesn't quite work as well as your imagination and reliving it in your imagination, you know? The imagination captures things that the recorder couldn't. I'm not quite sure how to explain that, but I would go back and I would, I said goodbye to my friends, basically, and went to live by the river for a year just to, not necessarily write, it's a four-seasonal package. I'm writing spring, winter, fall, summer. But the spring poems, I just went out there and started walking and then started hanging out, and I think you can attribute it to my laziness. I just didn't want to work. So I went out there every day and ran every morning, ran every evening, got up at 4:30. And then it was fun running in the snow, and it was fun running in the rain, and it was fun running with all the different types of birds and stuff. But it was also sad because of what was happening to the world around me, you know?
Well, there's that very clear sense that I think probably many of us have of being in a place of beauty and perfection and just among nature, and not being directly confronted with the horrible world outside of that, but being aware of it at the same time and trying to work with that contradiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what I can say on that. I go out about once every 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. We have a team of of people, and we go out to, you know, to do different things. And most of the things that we do, we go out to work with people who can't read or write, or we go to, for instance, we're going in 1 week to Juarez, to the cardboard towns where all the children are diseased. They're all missing some part of their body or something. But we've been doing that for 33 years, working with people who, and for some reason or another, don't have the same opportunities as we have. And during that time along the river, I was going out once every 2 or 3 weeks. And, I'd come back really sad, and the river sort of re-energized me. So I kind of accepted that. I kind of accepted that duality, that contradictory duality, and just try to find some sort of balance and gratitude.
That's another theme, the theme of gratitude in the poems. We're talking to Jimmy Santiago Baca. The extent to which nature and wildlife and being away from humans makes us more human is so clear. And I wondered if this is something that you learned as a child, or was it really more a process of your adulthood?
I think it's just I really was engaged and deeply involved with the earth when I was a child. Because, you know, I was working with my grandfather as a sheep herder and a field worker. And I don't know, it was a celebration, even in his deepest poverty. But as I grew older, I forgot that link, and I had to reforge it again. And the thing about animals and stuff is that they never disappoint you. I can't believe that the clarity of pain in their eyes that they celebrate with each step. You know, when I watch them fly or walk or swim, it's beautiful.
Yeah, there's a poem. I'm not sure I can find it right now, but it says something about how birds or animals never lie to you.
Yeah, you know, I keep praying that I become more the bird than myself, or more the river than myself, because I've been taught that, you know, America is about unique individuality, and for you to make it successfully here, you have to have your stamp on everything, and you have to make a lot of money, and you have to... I don't want that. I keep praying that I become the river more than myself, or I become the sparrow more than myself, and I'm getting there. Next time this year when you interview me, I'll be chirping.
and flowing. I was wondering if you'd like to read the poem on page 14, "The Bosque Ignores Our Religious Timetables."
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me find the book again. I forgot where I put it down.
Okay. We're talking to
the Bosque. Okay, good.
Yeah, Jimmy Santiago Baca. And by the way, he's going to be reading here in Santa Fe on Sunday, the 20th of May at 4 o'clock at St. Francis Auditorium, sponsored by Collected Works.
What page is it again?
14.
Page 14. Okay, here it is. "The Bosque Ignores Our Religious Timetables. On Palm Sunday, nothing changes down at the river. The wind blows 30 miles an hour, and rain this morning drenches everything, urges me to set my heart to the river's ways. Let everyone pass me by on their way to church. Let everyone prepare for Easter. While the river draws me into its rhythms of stars and moons, clouds and wind, early morning rains pull me where songs simmer, ripening, to let loose on the air and birth me anew, seed me anew, cultivate me into a green bud, softening to a sweet yellow offering. Recreate me in the image of a river apple, blackberry, or apricot. For all who pass to bite into me and let my juices run down their lip corners onto their chins, shirts, and blouses in a hungry celebration of spring.
Jimmy Santiago Baca. I was so struck by the lines, the rain urges me to set my heart to the river's ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's metaphorically speaking about that, all of us sort of have our souls. They're like, as we grow up in society, we sort of have, everybody needs to have the river moved back home. Because somehow we have these civil engineers in society, I'm not quite sure how it works, but they move the river from our organic traveling space inside, and it disrupts the entire landscape. It really does make it dysfunctional. So I think poetry's job is to take the river back home. And when we take that soul or that heart in the child or in a grown-up adult or something, and we move the river back home, it feels such an organic pleasure that it begins to run freely downhill again, and it begins to nurture all these plants and different feelings and emotions and dreams where they belong. It begins to nurture them again because it's back home. An awful lot of people are in the business of taking the river and moving it, you know, for their own indulgence. And I think poetry's job is to take the rivers back home. Could you imagine a poem followed by 200 rivers behind it, all going back home?
Right. It's hard to.
Pretty wild. The image.
Yeah, I mean, the image is both metaphorical and in some ways real when you think about all the damming of the rivers that happens and what that means symbolically.
Hey, well, listen, I know of a river up north. I know that there's a part of the Mora River that some oil people from some Texas, I believe, came in, and since they own that big parcel or something like that, they actually moved the river so that they could go swimming or something. I'm not sure. And we're in the process of getting an awful lot of kids from Taos to go with us to move the river back home.
Right, right.
Isn't it a cool idea?
Yeah, yeah. As a young man, you spent some years in prison, and that's where you learned to write and read poetry, and probably a lot of our listeners know your story. And I was wondering what your relationship is now to that time of your life and what role it plays in your work.
Oh, wow, what an incredible question. That's such a good question. I keep going back to that time. Actually, I was institutionalized for 21 years. I was taken from the Pueblo and my brothers and sisters, and we were absconded by the authorities one night and taken in because we had to be, they said we had to integrate or something. I was only four or five. But, and then, so that, I was into the system very early from the orphanage to the St. Anthony's and the Indian School, all the way through the juvenile halls and the detention centers and all that stuff, you know. And I keep going back to those periods of time when I was by myself in cells, and I really can't think of a happier time. I mean, a more dangerous time I can't think of either, because my life was at stake every day. It was a life and death kind of existence, which I think Americans are really, I think we kind of miss out on that, being challenged every day, what we believe in and what we stand for, you know?
Right.
We sort of come into a numbness. But when you're in a cell in that prison or in the juvenile center as a kid and stuff, every day you have to sort of let people know who you are and what you stand for, even in your silence. But I keep going back to those days when I would read Emily Dickinson in the cell on death row, or Gabriel Garcia Marquez, or Lorca, or Paz, or Hernandez. And in the middle of the night, I hear all these people snoring and whining and moaning, all the pains that come up when people sleep, you know. And I'd be reading poetry in The Condemned, in the house of the condemned. And it was amazing, you know. I mean, 21 years living with people who have been ostracized from society. And my soul was like a tribal drum. I just kind of went around, and every person who I met, their presence sort of beat my soul like a drum beat, you know. It was an amazing thing.
It's amazing also to think that was, in some ways, a happy time of your life. I was thinking about the prison experience compared to the Bosque experience, because in prison, you're so removed from that healing and conversation that you have with nature that comes out in your poems.
Well, you know, it was just, I wasn't removed from nature in prison, because nature was reduced to an oily spot of grass at the base of a telephone pole. Or nature was reduced to a sparrow on a telephone line. And whatever it is that the Creator handed me, that's what I gave thanks for that day. Even to the point of human beings, when I had to look into a man's eyes who had been locked up for 35 years and on medication, you know, I mean, even if I looked at the prison walls, I could imagine the people who brought the sand to the prison, the people who were actually getting up this morning and kissing their wives goodbye and saying goodbye to their kids as they came to build the prison cells. My imagination ran fertile, and I could. There was a lot of nature in my prison cell. A lot of horses that were crossing the desert on my prison cell wall. A lot of fires that were burning, and a lot of kids that were born.
Was there a transformative moment in your youth or in prison where you came to think the way that you're speaking now, you know, to read Emily Dickinson, to read poetry, to use your imagination in that way?
Just an overwhelming sadness, a great, great sadness, an unbearable grief. Unbearable grief by what we, I mean, how it's just unbelievable how so much, I mean, such few people in the world had so much money. And how millions and millions and millions of people had nothing. And the ones who had nothing were at the bottom of the barrel. Instead of some sort of appreciation or some sort of redemption on our part to do something, we just beat them like animals and shoved them into these places called prisons. Oh, to this day, it just shatters my composure. I mean, the prison system today has gotten so bad, it's gotten so worse that we're now building prisons for children. It's just unbelievable that we can do this. I mean, so it's just this overwhelming grief that just stunned me and struck me and kicked me and threw me off my gate and made me just look around and say, you know, the law has now become, you know, has become a night rider on the road who is stealing from the poor people too. So there was nothing to do but go to the poetry, go to the word, go to language, go to communication. And that's what I did.
I was wondering if you'd like to read the poem on page 37, which is called Continue.
Continue, sure. If we keep reading, I don't think very many people are going to show up. We're going to have the whole book done. What page is it?
37.
Okay.
There's a lot of poems in this book, ladies and gentlemen, and they're all worth reading.
I'm just kidding. You're very sweet. Okay, this is called Continue. The present calls constantly for a reorientation from the life outside of us. For instance, dead tree boughs along the river have for me been symbols of sadness, wretchedly clawing at sky for sustenance, a Mexican's hands digging scorched desert dirt for water. Regret rims my heart so fiercely at times, all I can do to contain composure is take a cue from the nearest animal or bird. That's what I want. To love as they love, to know how to live in a manner that is true. Own the wildness of my ways, waking at midnight. The garlic sting of struggle on my tongue. Fear burning in my stomach. I continue.
Jimmy Santiago Baca reading from the book Spring Poems Along the Rio Grande. And that's a New Directions book. I want to thank you so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you so much for making my morning complete.
It's a wonderful book, and Jimmy Santiago Baca will be reading on and signing books on Sunday, this coming Sunday, May 20th, at 4 o'clock at the St. Francis Auditorium, sponsored by Collected Works Bookstore. We're going to take a little break right now. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Amy Pilling. She is an organizer with New Mexico Bioneers. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
What is Bioneers?
Well, Bioneers is an organization that's been around since 1990. And in 90, they're founded by Kenny Oswald and Nina Simons. And they hosted a conference in 1990. It was in Santa Fe, actually. And it was for scientific and social innovators to talk about the kind of amazing visionary work they were doing and all the practical solutions and models that they were developing. And it went on from there. And it's grown tremendously. They have their main conference in Marin, California, and it's always very well attended, sold out. Thousands of people converge to hear leaders in environmental and social justice talking about their work and talking about all the practical solutions that they've developed.
Now, when we talk about practical solutions, there are some incredible things coming out of this that most of us haven't heard of unless we actually tune into a broadcast about the Bioneers Conference or read
right.
about it. I mean, there was somebody who came up with a mushroom that eats oil spills.
Right, Paul Stamets. Yeah, it's the thing that's so great about this conference is Bioneers is really a convening spot for people who are doing great work. So at these conferences, there's a national conference, but now there are satellite conferences all over the country.
Including New Mexico.
Yeah, including Santa Fe. And they happen all at the same time. And it's a place where people who are doing this kind of work can really demonstrate and show others how they're actually pulling off these great successes. So, for instance, Paul Stamets is a mushroom guy, mycologist, and he uses mushrooms for bioremediation, and he's had incredible results, and he's a real innovator. So it's great for people to hear the kind of work he's doing, because it's beyond just mycology. I mean, he's a business innovator, too, and that's one of the things about all of these speakers that we hear in the plenaries from the national conference. We hear them at every satellite conference, simulcast, and we get to hear these great stories. And this year, for instance, we have Winona LaDuc speaking from the main conference. Most people will know Winona's work. She was a Green Party vice presidential candidate, and she is program director for Honor the Earth. So she's also an award-winning author. She's really an amazing social innovator. And also John Abrams, who is a builder. He has a South Mountain Building Company in Martha's Vineyard. And he's going to be speaking on something called Thinking Like a Cathedral Builder. So he's talking about really new models for business and doing construction and construction industries.
Now, this is all in an upcoming conference?
This is coming up in October.
Now, between now and October, because what are we in, May right now?
Right.
We've got a few things to do between now and then, and the reason you are on now is because there's on this show is that there are some community meetings coming up.
Yes, there are. The way we host the local conference in New Mexico is that we don't plan it from above. We plan it through the community. So the way that we find all of the incredible innovators locally, and there are many, there are just people in New Mexico doing absolutely amazing work in environment and social justice. So we hold community meetings in Santa Fe, Albuquerque. We're going to hold them in Taos, Española, Los Alamos, Farmington, and Las Cruces. And the first one's coming up at the end of this month on the 29th and the 31st. And we will be posting that information, the detailed information, on the website. But what we do is we encourage community members to come and talk about what it is that they feel are really key topics to be addressing this year at the conference. At these local...
So do you have to, like, if I show up and I say, Well, what I'd like you to address is that there be enough water, food, and solar energy in New Mexico, but I have no idea how to get there. I can just show up and say that, or should I know something about what I'm talking about?
You, of course, can show up and say that, and we might try and enlist you as a volunteer. So the fact is, we get a lot of speakers and presenters out of these community meetings. We did in the 2005 conference, and I know Sustained Taos did in the 2006 conference. But in addition, to pulling off a conference like this is an enormous deal. We're going to have it at the College of Santa Fe, and we're hoping to get 800 to 1,000 people. We're going to have a lot of concurrent sessions, and we really want to have the conference walk its talk as far as what's going on for people, how the food is provided, all local food. We'll be working with La Montadina Co-op and the farmers market.
So you're not trying to have like Cheese Whiz and plastic
no cheese
cups
whiz.
Right.
But we also want to have arts programs, and we want to have events happening during the conference. And there are so many ways that people can participate. They could be sponsors or donors, which really helps pull the conference off. They can register early. And honestly, that's really what pulls the conference off.
Yeah, amazing.
Really,
yeah,
you're funding the conference if you register early. We'll have exhibitor tables. So anyone who has a nonprofit and they want other people to know about their work or a business can come and set up there.
Whether it be directly environmentally related or peripherally.
Yes. Volunteers. We had great teams of volunteers in past years. And this year we're really making sure that they're going to be able to watch all the plenaries and participate like everyone else with having monitors at the registration table and all of that. They have been so much fun to work with. So our volunteers are fantastic. People may want to present. And also performers and others should contact us. I mean, it would be great to have some really wonderful events happening.
So all of this is the Bioneers Conference. It's coming up in October. The community meetings are coming up later in the month of May. Is there a phone number? And let's also get the website that people can get more information.
Yeah, the phone number is 505-820-0858.
820-0858, and that's a Santa Fe number?
Yes, and that will be landed at an office soon. We're seeking office space in Santa Fe. If anyone wants to
right now, it's a disembodied
donate office
phone
space.
Number.
Yes, exactly. It's a floating phone number. And the website is up, and it's still being added to. So all the community meeting information will be put on there. And it's nmconference.org/Bioneers.
nmconference.org/Bioneers. And I bet that if you just sort of Googled New Mexico Bioneers, you'd come right on it if you're on the internet. Amy Pilling is an organizer with Bioneers, and I want to thank you so much for coming down.
You're welcome. Thanks.
We're going to take a little break right now, and Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he is here many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I'm here to speak about the arts, but I'm going to plug one little thing really quickly. It's unusual for us, but today in Generation Next, which is the teen section of the New Mexican, they have a great nearly 25-page long special supplement on teen suicide, and it's a really terrific supplement. Even, you know, if you never pick up the New Mexican, if this isn't an issue that interests you or anyone you know, please consider picking it up today. It's a really terrific piece of work, including a first-person account from a teenager who attempted suicide. It's worth picking up. And you also have the Pasatiempo with all your arts listings.
And writing by the inimitable and inevitable Robert Knott.
That guy always cheers me up.
Me too.
Okay, we got some art openings tonight. Box Gallery, 1611 Paseo de Peralta by the railroad tracks, has Boomerang, paintings by Trent Edwards. The reception's 5 to 7 p.m. I haven't seen the work, but I like Box Gallery, so I think I'll go by there and say hi. Right near them is El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, 1615B, Paseo de Peralta, and they have a piece called Center, and that's going to present portfolio work by more than 100 contemporary photographers. So there's a reception tonight from 6:30 to 8:30, and that's only tonight. So if you're interested, go over to Box Gallery and then walk over to El Museo Cultural.
My favorite book in the whole world is Fox and Socks, which has a lot of boxes in it.
Really?
Fox, Socks, Box, Knox, Fox and Socks, Knox and Box, that kind of thing.
I like Catcher in the Rye and also The Mouse and the Motorcycle. Remember the little mouse that gets
no.
a motorcycle? He gets a motorcycle and he's... Well, never mind that. Gold Leaf Gallery, 627 West Alameda Street, has The Mask Show. If you're interested in masks, it's work by Dirk Wales, Mark Winter, John Kurtz. Reception's at 5:30. That runs through May. And I have to mention the cover story in today's Pasatiempo, which focuses on the late Janet Lippincott. Her work is part of a exhibit up at Karen Rulin Gallery, 225 Canyon Road. That's on the lower end of Canyon Road on the left if you're heading up. It's called The Second Wave, New Mexico Modernists After World War II, and it features the work of Clinton Adams and Janet Lippincott and many others. And Elizabeth Cook Romero wrote a nice piece on Lippincott, and that's our cover story. She also wrote a piece on Flight of Fancy, an MFA show, which examines the idea of flight. That's at the Museum of Fine Arts on Palace Avenue, 5:30 p.m. at reception. The show runs through middle of September. I think Friday nights at the galleries is free for everybody. If I'm wrong, I apologize. Here's a phone number, 476-5072.
And there's a portfolio viewing. 100 contemporary photographers share their work as part of Review Santa Fe, the country's only juried photography portfolio review event. That's today from 6:30 to 8:30 at El Museo Cultural. And it's sponsored by the Center, formerly known as the Santa Fe Center for Photography. More information, 984-8353.
I love it when you prove repeatedly that women don't listen to men as
did much you already
as,
say that?
That was the second thing I mentioned.
Oh my God.
After Box Gallery, but you were so caught up with Fox.
I was trying to find this
Fox
this piece
socks.
Of thing on my
somebody else sent that. Me an email to list something and I'm really sorry I didn't print it out. I don't remember what it was. I may come across it anyway. There's a lot of stage this week. The Importance of Being Earnest, a very funny show, continues at Theater Work, 1336 Rufina Circle, through this weekend and next, 7:30 p.m. shows, 2 p.m. matinees. I have a review on it in Pasatiempo today.
Is that true that we don't listen to you?
I don't know who listens to me, but sometimes I come on and I mention something, and a minute later you go, by the way, The Importance of Being Earnest is being done at Theater Work, and I just kind of get bewildered.
Oh, no. And that's terrible.
No, it's good, because women always say men don't listen to them.
Well, it's not always untrue.
It's quite often very true. Godspell is the El Dorado Children's Theater Team Players production of the old musical. 8 p.m. tonight. I think there's a matinee on Saturday. It's at the James A. Little Theater at the New Mexico School for the Deaf on Cerritos Road. Meanwhile, Palimpsest. Now, do you know what Palimpsest is?
Isn't that paper that something's written on and then erased so that the text is still there but you can't really read it?
And then you
something
reuse
like that.
The paper. And you
right.
Yeah, that's yeah. Good. It's like recycling. Anyway, that's an original student opera being put together by a group of local students under the direction of Akushla Bastive, and it's at 6 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. tonight, and it is free, and it's at the Scottish Rite Center, and I wrote a piece about it in PASA. It looks terrific. It looks fun. They take you through a tour of the Scottish Rite Center as they're doing the show, and it's a very short show, so please consider going to see it, 6 p.m., 7:30 p.m. Sam Ashley, the performance artist, is doing a couple of original pieces at the Linda Durham Contemporary Art Gallery at 8 o'clock tonight. That's on Paseo de Peralta. And I'm not quite sure what they're totally about, but I think in one of them he channels spirits and plays the drums. And I apologize if I didn't get it right, but it's at Linda Durham. It's at 8 o'clock tonight. There is a phone number for info, 466-6600. And Jose Cruz Gonzalez's play, September Shoes, opens tonight at the Santa Fe Playhouse. It's a co-production of the Playhouse and Teatro Paraguas, and it's running, I think, for two or three weekends, partially at Santa Fe Playhouse this weekend, and then over at El Museo Cultural. The phone number right now for info is 4730143. I haven't read the piece. I'm going to go see it this weekend.
I went to the rehearsal.
Oh, you did? When?
A few days ago, on Monday.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And we had them on the air the next day.
And they're switching theaters like midway through the run, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd there, be interesting.
Two weekends at the
Playhouse,
and then one weekend at El Museo.
That's interesting.
And it's a big, crazy set. It's sort of fun.
Well, I'm going to be curious to see how they move it across the street. The Institute of American Indian Arts Conversations to Remember lecture series has Winona LaDux and others speaking about pollution, politics, and patrimony, environmental justice in Indian country. And that's at 7 o'clock tonight down at the IAIA Arts Museum, 108 Cathedral Place, right down by the plaza. Very cheap to get in, 983-1777. If you're looking for a book signing to go to tonight at 5 o'clock over at Garcia Street Books, they have Sally Denton, who will be on hand for her new book, Passion and Principle, John and Jesse Fremont, the couple whose power, politics, and love shaped 19th century America.
And I read it, and it's great, and we had her on the air this week also, and she's a wonderful writer.
Tell me about the Fremont.
She's the kind of historian who makes you feel like you're walking right along with the characters.
Well, who were the Fremonts? What can you say?
The Jesse Fremont was the daughter of a famous Missouri senator named Thomas Hart Benton, John Charles Fremont was an explorer who achieved a certain amount of notoriety in California during the whole context of Manifest Destiny, and then became wealthy during the Gold Rush, and then lost their fortune. It's a great epic.
Yeah, that's cool, Jesse, huh? Remember that song by Carly Simon? Jesse, I'll always cut fresh flowers for you. I should change that to Elvie, because I met this lady named Elvie, who came by the loft at my work this week and said she loves when I sing like Dean Martin, so it should be, Elvie, I'm glad you're listening to me today. And Elvie, I hope you have a good time in Santa Fe. Okay.
Hey, the Santa Fe Film Festival is now accepting submissions for the 8th annual festival. And so you can submit them. You can go actually to SantaFeFilmFestival.com or go to the website withoutabox.com.
Pretty cool. And
yep.
If you want to dance tonight, you got three options. I bet Salsa y Grooves is one of them. Speak about it. What do you know?
Is that the same as Salsa y Son?
Well, it's at Salsa y Son. At 8:30 is the lesson. At 9:30 is the dance. And you learn how to salsa, and there's music by DJ Timbalero.
Yay!
It's at 2400 Cerritos Road. It used to be a steakhouse. 474-6406. You do got to pay to get in, and you got to be 21.
So our foreign correspondent who's on this show about once a month, Bill Burke-White, is in Iran right now, and I get an email saying that he went salsa dancing in Tehran.
That's pretty good. I had the best Chinese food of my life in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, in 1983. Friday Night Blues, partner dancing with blues music, 9 to 11:30 p.m. at Studio East and Camino del Monte Sol. Cheap to get in, 920-0330. That's tonight. And if you want to go to Oddfellows Hall, Scottish Country Dance, 7:30 p.m. Small fee includes a lesson. You go and you do some country dancing. It's Scottish. Kilts not required. 1125 Cerritos Road, right off the Cordova intersection on Cerritos.
Hey, did you already mention the release of the new edition of Day Hikes in the Santa Fe area?
No, speak.
Sunday from 2 to 4 at the Travel Bug on Paseo de Peralta.
Pretty cool.
Yep, sponsored by the Northern New Mexico group of the Sierra Club.
Meanwhile, on Saturday, the Zia Singers have a 2007 dessert concert. I don't know if it's desert or dessert. They're in the desert, but I think they offer dessert.
Right.
It's called The Walk Down Memory Lane. Show tunes and popular songs from 1920 to 1970. That's my era. That's perfect.
Your era.
They're going to do things like, yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, I don't mean maybe. Plus, maybe since it goes up to 1970, they'll do like Dancing Queen or something, right?
They could do White Rabbit. They could do anything.
Or Bobby Goldsboro tunes or something. That'd be fun. It's at 7:30 Saturday at the Elks Lodge, which is at 1615 Old Pecos Trail. All the alcoholics go there. You got to pay. You get dessert. It's cheaper for kids. Tickets at the door only. Phone number, 466-3637.
On a completely different note, there's a dinner lecture by His Excellency Ambassador Imad Mustafa, Syrian Ambassador to the United States.
Correct.
That's the Santa Fe Council on International Relations, Tuesday at 6 o'clock at La Terraza at La Fonda Hotel. And that's the Santa Fe CIR. The number, if you want more information on how to go to that, is 982-4931.
That's pretty cool. What time is it?
It's 8:48.
Yikes. There's a lot to do on Saturday, and a lot of it is quite unusual and different, so listen up. If you want to go, here are the first 30 pages of a new script about Honoree Page, Black Cowgirl. 3:30 Saturday, free, Institute of Indian American Arts, downtown the museum at 108 Cathedral Place. It's a new work by Nancy Holly Hughes. They're going to have music. They're going to have a little video piece that goes with it. She's putting this together with the hope of shooting it in New Mexico next year. Interesting story, www.blackcowgirl.com. It's about a black minister who comes out to a desert ghost town in the state to kind of reclaim her Cherokee heritage. I don't know much more about it, but it's at 3:30 p.m., free reading of the first 30 pages. It won't be long. And the thing I like about it is when they were, the writer and the producer were pitching it to me, they were like, we're going to make this an exciting reading, not just people sitting around. So I hope they do. That day, if you want to drive a little bit out of town, the El Dorado Studio Tour starts Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5. 466-6245, close to 100 artists, not far, 15-minute ride. There's a little piece on it in Paso Tiempo.
Hey, Tuesday at the Santa Fe Film Center, it's part of the Forum, which is the last Tuesday of every month film series. They are showing a Buddhist film. Peace is Every Step, The Life and Work of Thich Nhat Hanh, a film by Caetano Kazuo Maeda, narrated by the actor Ben Kingsley.
Nice.
And that is at a time that they didn't say on the email that I got what time it's at.
They pull that a lot. That's true. I mean,
it's on Tuesday.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, with press releases, get all that information to us. Place, time, address, phone number, prices. We care about that stuff.
We care. And our listeners care.
The New Mexican. Backstage Pass and Die Fighter Market. Do you know anything about that?
Uh-uh.
Well, anyway, it's probably at a Fleeter Market. It's a Santa Fe opera. Every time they do something, except for that's a show about Carmen. I can never pronounce it. That's why I like when they do Carmen. People say, well, it's at the opera. I say Carmen. It's easy. You got to suddenly mention the Student Prince or Die Fleitermaus or something. You get all
Die Fleitermaus, which means the bat.
Well, anyway, the bat's going on. This is their open house, so to speak. You go up there, and they give you guided tours. You can visit the shop, scene shop. You eat food. You see more. And they're going to have a little fundraising market. It's from 10 to 2 Saturday. It's free. It's at the opera, 7 miles north of town, 986-5900. And also, Fine Arts for Children and Teens art exhibit and pancake breakfast this Saturday morning, 9 to 11.
Pancakes.
It's at the parking lot outside the First National Bank on the plaza. And it's a kids' art show and breakfast, and it benefits Salazar Elementary School's art programs. How could you not want to eat the breakfast of the pancakes on right off the plaza at the First National Bank and help this program? Go.
Excellent point.
Meanwhile, a lecture and guided walk by Doug Peterson called Santa Fe a Military Town, 1846 to 1894, for those of you interested in that particular subject. That's Saturday, 1:30, free. You meet at the Santa Fe Public Library downtown on Washington Avenue, 982-1172. Santa Fe, a Military Town. That looks like an interesting guided walk with Doug Peterson. And the Santa Fe Artist Market continues at Casa Solana on Alameda. It's still going strong down there by the place where I do my laundry. 9 to 2 o'clock on Saturday, I may do my laundry and go over in the shop, so you may see me there.
But how will we know what you look like?
Well, I'll probably have a bag of wet clothes over my shoulder. I look like Santa Claus without the beard, but with wet clothes. You'll see me like wearing my... You know, like when you do laundry and the only thing you have left to wear is your sweats? Do you ever notice that about people in the laundromat?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I bet you have a washer and dryer.
I have a washer in the house.
So what do you wear when you're washing your clothes?
Usually pants and a shirt. That's what I wear most of the time anyhow.
Okay, so you've never been reduced to, like, just going around in skivvies while you're trying to get your stuff done. Stacey Neff's Media Circus is Saturday night, which is not necessarily the loneliest night of the week, and that's at 7 o'clock at the Film Museum, which is at 418 Montezuma Avenue, formerly the Jean Cocteau Cinema. And it's going to be this strange but fun night of movies, music, readings, dance, art, door prizes, celebrity scandal. 7 o'clock Saturday night. I wrote about it in the Big Picture in the Paso Tiempo today. Why wouldn't you not want to read it? And here's a program that I love. Get this. Student Hoi Polloi. Art by the Masses. Now, this isn't Saturday. This is from 10 to 8. It's a day of art activities for Santa Fe youngsters, followed by a reception and exhibition. It's at AD Collective Gallery, which is on Baca Street, 916 Baca. No charge, all day, basically Saturday, 699-9320. Now, what's the description of Hoi Polloi?
Hoi Polloi just
yeah.
means the common people.
That's me?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Did you ever see that Three Stooges movie, Hoi Polloi?
No.
Here's what happens. They're plumbers, and then these people pay them money to, like, turn them into gentlemen, and they only have 18 minutes to do it because that's how long the movies were. So they give them, like, lessons in elocution and electrocution and other stuff. And then, of course, when they go to the party, for reasons unexplained, there's, like, tables full of pies, and their basic common Hoi Polloi instincts come out. And so high society, man, that stuff...
Witnesses a little bit of pie in the face.
It certainly does. This stuff needs to happen more often in life.
Whatever you say, Robert Knott.
Thank you. You're so concurrent with me today. I like that. The Santa Fe Women's Celebration is a Southwest Roots music presentation, which is going to use art and music to celebrate women in the arts. Nancy Griffith, Mary Gauthier, 100-Year Flood, and others. 3 to 10 p.m. Saturday also. It's a big day Saturday for art. Santa Fe Brewing Company on Fireplace, 988-1234, which is, of course, the Lenzic phone number. And you already spoke about Jimmy Santiago Baca. You did an interview with him. He's having a reading Sunday at 4 p.m. at St. Francis Auditorium, 988-4226. We do have a story in today's Pasatiempo by Soledad Santiago. No charge.
I would just like to say at this juncture that our local independent bookstores have some of the most fabulous authors speaking, and I would just like to commend them for the tremendous work that they do.
Because that's being presented by
Collected Works.
Right.
And Garcia Street also does marvelous work.
Yeah, they're both here. That's a great point. Acoustic Music Jam Sunday, Wild Oats Community Room. Go and play, 12:30 to 3 o'clock. Bring something. Bring yourself. Wild Oats is at Cordova and St. Francis. The 8th Annual Empty Bowls Project is Sunday. That's a sale of locally created bowls with soups cooked by local restaurants. Silent auction. There is a performance by the Kumusha Women's Marimba Ensemble. Proceeds benefit the Food Depot.
Very much worth going to.
Very much. You've got to pay, but it's worth it. 471-1633.
Well, you always have to pay when it's a benefit.
I don't have the time in the Pasatiempo. I'm really sorry. We do a pretty good job with that calendar, but we didn't list the time. It's Sunday. Meanwhile, that same day, the music of Spain and Latin America is going to happen at Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra's concert. 4 p.m. at the Lenzic, Sunday, 988-1234. Jumping ahead to Monday, which you will care about, Mary Charlotte, is Jazzapalooza.
Jazzapalooza.
Tell us about it.
You tell me.
Well, it's the performances by the Southwest Jazz Orchestra in straight-up jazz content, and it benefits you guys. KSFR 90.7 FM, your community radio station. Great radio station. 7:30 to 10 p.m. Monday at the Lodge of Santa Fe, 750 St. Francis Drive. You got to pay, but you get tapas. There's group discounts available. Reservations are required. Ergo, you need a phone number. Here we go. 428-1379. That didn't work out too well. 428-1379.
Hey, I just found out that the looking at a different email file, that Peace is Every Step, the Life and Work of Thich Nhat Hanh, is Tuesday, the 22nd of May at 7 o'clock at the Film Center.
Excellent. Buddy Guy is Tuesday night at the Lenzic, 7:30 p.m., the blues guitarist.
Buddy Guy.
Yep.
That's a pretty funny name. Both names mean guy. Hey, buddy.
Hey, guy. That's pretty good. Santa Fe High School Spring Concert is that night at 7 o'clock. It's at Capitol High. Performances by the Jazz Ensemble, Percussion Ensemble, and the Concert Band. Capitol High is out on Paseo del Sol off of Airport. No charge, 7 o'clock Tuesday. On Wednesday, Kerouac is back. Jack Writer Series includes an informal chat and a poetry reading with Gary Snyder.
Gary Snyder. I know, we tried. I couldn't get the timing to work.
Okay, well, we got him in Pasa. There's a Q&A with him with Soledad Santiago. 7 p.m. Wednesday, Lenzic. And that is also the night that Barbara Rose Johnson speaks about nuclear dreams and radioactive nightmares.
She is my new superhero. We had her on the show yesterday. An incredible, incredible woman, activist, writer, thinker, anthropologist, doer. That book, Half Lives and Half Truths, is extraordinary.
What can you say about her lecture on noon on Wednesday at the School for Advanced Research?
School for Advanced Research. Yeah. That's another subject, and then she's doing something the next day.
Okay. This is free. It's at noon if you want to go to the lecture Wednesday. Thursday, New Mexico State Capitol Rotunda has old unveiling of recently restored works by Randall Davey in celebration of the guy's 120th birthday. He's an old man. I mean, it'd be fun to go see him eat cake. Oh, wait, it says here he died in 64. That wouldn't be so fun in that case.
That wouldn't work then, huh?
Because you'd have to shovel it in with a spoon. It's 3 to 5 p.m. Thursday at the New Mexico Capitol, and that's the same night that Wise Fool opens its new show, Ashes, The Alchemy of Hope. I have a story on this in next Friday's Pasa. I went to a rehearsal the other night. Deirdre Morris put this together with members of High Mayhem Studios, Wise Fool, Synchronicity Pictures, and Meet Puppet Theater, 8 o'clock Thursday.
And by the way, the book signing at the School for Advanced Research with Barbara Rose Johnston is on Thursday from 4 to 5:30. That's for the Half Lives and Half Truths. And the other one is Wednesday from 12 to 1. So there's two things going on 2 days in a row.
What time is it?
It's time to go. Robert Knott is Associate Editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's here with us many Fridays. Speaking of the arts, not next Friday, though. We're going to be off for a few weeks there, and then we'll be back in June.
That's great.
And thank you so much for being here and being you and doing what you do.
Well, thanks. It always emancipates me. I like it.
We want you emancipated.
I'm going to go out later today and prosecute for some gold in the Turquoise Hills.
And we love your vocabulary, Robert. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting. Have you seen my new website?
Yeah, you turned me onto it.
SantaFeRadioCafe.org. You can listen to each show just by clicking on the little link where we go back until March of this year. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. All of this thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services.
That's cool.
Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. And we have, just after 9 o'clock, the Jazz a la Carta with Ricardo Perez and Helga Ancona during the middle Brazilian hour. And that's all, folks.
The only websites I have in my house are made by spiders.
That's a good website. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. My name is Mary Charlotte. Robert, have a wonderful weekend.
I'll see you in a few weeks.
I'll see you in a few weeks, and I'll see everybody also tomorrow night at something we didn't mention because it's in Albuquerque, but there's a salsa festival at the at the New Mexico Hispanic Cultural Center in Albuquerque at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. All sorts of amazing bands. Hasta la vista, baby.
Adios.